I'm Tamara Farrow. I work for Seventh Generation. My background is agency side and brand side, so I've been doing this for about 18 years now, from digital marketing when it was just websites and onward. So at Seventh Generation, we are now in a better position, but when I started a few years ago, we really had to prove social media. We're still at a place where we don't have an in-house digital designer. We have a community manager, Sam, who's here. Hi, Sam. And we have, that's really about it, and myself, who I manage strategy. So really, we've been really lucky in that because we are, who knows what Seventh Generation is? I should probably back up and be like, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, so we make like natural cleaning products, natural baby products. We're very socially oriented. We're about 27 years old. We also recently bought a brand called Bauble, which is a reusable water bottle. We've been super lucky because we are a sustainable brand. We have a lot of connections, and we've almost been adopted by people like Facebook and Google and Twitter. So we've been able to go to things like the Facebook Spark Sessions, Google Brand Lab. So hopefully I'm going to bring a lot of that back, and you'll get some of that here. It's really tools that are usually only given to larger brands with larger budgets. So hopefully that'll be helpful. So the one thing I really want to talk about is that social media is social, and I'm going to skip that. If you really, really have, like, you're like, you know what, I have one person, I do multiple things, I have no budget, you could say, you know what, I would say you could use social media as an ad network. Don't do display, use Facebook as your ad network, use your small budget there, imagine that you're going to do some engagement. That's not ideal. You actually, I really, really think, like, you have to be a social person. You actually, the person in the role of your community manager should really, really care about talking to people and really be able to relate to them and care about them. It's huge. We actually had someone who wasn't like that, and it didn't work at all. So having one person who truly cares about talking to the people in your community goes so much farther than like anything else. So that's my one like on the ground lesson: don't hire someone who isn't inherently social. I've heard this a lot today. Your CEO might be over here. Let's talk about our awards. Let's talk about what our product does. Don't. Whatever you can do, show them this. And this is a great a lesson from Google Brand Lab. And it's something that I've put into all of our product briefs when I go out to the brand teams and they say, oh, we need some content or we need some posts. I say, great, what does your target audience care about in their daily life? And they look at me and they say, I don't know. And I say, go and figure it out and then come back with your brief. We're not going to post until you know. So really, you have to think about what your consumers care about in their daily lives. That's number one. You have to, like, where's that intersection of what your brand offers? That's where you start your conversation. So you're at a cocktail party, and I thought, you know, Chris and Tammy are a hard act to follow. There's a great presentation, but the slide where they talk about direct marketing as really just being like, oh, I've got these awards, and oh, I've got these, you know, I'm great. That's what this is, and you can't stay there. But your brand teams, your product teams, if you're doing products, they're going to say, why aren't you talking about this? And you're going to say, because that's not where a conversation starts. If you're at a cocktail party, you're not going to just go up to someone and talk over and over and over about what you do and what you have to offer and what you're bringing to the table. You're really saying, like, hey, what do you do? How can I help you? Like, how can we get along? What can we talk about? So it's a conversation. Basic, but you'd be surprised at how hard that is to convince people of. So I have a lot of things here. And I'm also going to say that this is a lot of like takeaways where you can actually go and kind of activate on them. If you download this, there's resources at the end, super helpful. I'm going to go not too fast. I'm going to slow down. But there's a lot of information. So build your plan. Sometimes it's really hard. I think a lot of the stuff that we've taken away today has been you've got to know your target audience. Like, how do you do that? It's data that you have to access. It's time that you have to spend finding those demographics, figuring out what your target is. So there are a couple ways that we do that cheaply. So Facebook Insights demographics are actually really, really, really deep. If you do have access to a Facebook account manager, you can ask them for a connection analysis report, and they can pull that for you. You can start seeing deeper engagement, deeper demographics from those reports. Twitter audience demographics have gotten really robust. Pinterest as well. You can actually go in, look at what your consumers in your group, if you have a decent following, even a 500 following will give you some demographics about who your target is. And really think about who do you want to reach from a business level? What's the best growth potential? Who is that person? So just starting there, we've heard a lot about targeted segments. You could have a primary audience, a secondary audience. That's really going to help as far as being able to spread your budget and spread your time as far as you can. Like, if you know your audience exactly, you know who you want to reach, you know the percent of budget you want to spend on those people, you're not going to waste a lot of time. You're going to have a lot of efficiency there. So when you're going into the strategy, so really looking at, like, getting to the point of, like, that shared value that I talked about in the first slide. So you might have to do some exploring around that. For Seventh Generation, it's like we care about, I would say, you know, we care about the health of your family, your home, and the planet. So we say, okay, we're not caring about selling products. We care about the health of your family, your home, and your planet. Well, a lot of people care about that. So there's a lot we have to talk about. We can bring our products into that. We can bring, like, our value of our brand into those conversations eventually. But the core of what we say is our shared value and are, like, our pillars for when we talk on social are, like, the health of your home, your family, your planet. So if you haven't done that exploration, take the time. It will save you time in the end. So again, like, objectives, like, getting to what action? Is it lead generation? Is it for us, for Seventh Generation, it's all about getting people to talk about us. We're an older brand. We have a lot of legacy around being kind of scary, around being kind of old hippies. We're in Vermont. We, like, stir cauldrons. Like, there's a lot of, like, misconceptions. So really our goal is, like, how do we get moms, like, younger moms especially, talking about the brand as much as possible? So that's really our goal. We don't have e-commerce. If you do have a closed-loop system, it's a little easier, but we don't. So technology, you know, it's, you know, you either are short on people, you're short on money, or you're short on time. So you don't have to be on every social platform. You should watch them. You should see what people are saying. For Bobble, the water bottle company, you know, Twitter is something that, you know, we don't really spend a lot of time on. Like, it's a really young demographic. They're not really there. You might only be, I mean, people keep saying you might only be on Snapchat. You might actually only be on Snapchat. You might have, like, the Taco Bell kids, you know, telling that story. Like, that might be where you focus. That's okay. You know, I'm not gonna say, like, ignore everything else. But if you have, like, one platform where you know your people are, like, make that your priority for now. Like, we don't focus that much on Pinterest. It's a really big place that where we could be. We don't have the resources to do it. And we know that we're getting better engagement on Instagram, we're getting better engagement on Facebook, so we stay there. And we will grow, you know, we'll prove that we're doing really well in some channels and then move on. But it's okay to not be on every single channel. So when you're getting also into deciding technology, I love following platforms that are a little more expensive. So they actually usually have really great insights, really great tools you can use. People have mentioned HubSpot already, Percolate, Buffer. Follow their Twitters, follow you know, their blogs. They actually are going to post publishing tools, they're going to post strategy. You can actually just take it and use it. You know, don't reinvent the wheel. You know, if you're a one person social department or a one person marketing department, a lot of people have figured this stuff out for you. So just go in figuring, you know, get all that out. Buffer is also a pretty inexpensive platform if you're looking at technology. Start with native publishing, start with free platforms. If you're starting from the ground up, you're one person. TweetDeck, I made notes. So free tools, like, so you could use Hootsuite, TweetReach, TweetDeck, Likeable, Hub is interesting. And then also is when you're thinking about your people, listening tools, I would recommend, there's, like, Social Searcher, Social Mention, If This Then That. There's always Google Analytics. You can always figure out some demographic information there. So the other thing is looking for industry reports in your demographic. So we target moms. Baby Center actually puts out a, like, moms in media report where they tell us exactly what moms are doing, where they are, how they're using media. It's free. If you look in your industry for the kind of big industry leaders, they often do publish data and reports on your demographic. So there's just so much free information. And again, this is kind of the you're spending the time, but you're going to spend less time than if you're starting from scratch. So a lot of stuff there. So what else did I want to say? Okay, I think that's it for this slide. Okay, so number one, so that's kind of build your plan. There's a lot of ways you can do that for free or very cheaply, you know, even if you're one person. Growing your followers. So number one, lay your foundation. So your consistency is absolutely key. I think brands are adding to the conversation with content that's like, it's becoming more and more indistinguishable from traditional journalism. So it's really like, what is it that you're doing? What is customer first? Like, what are those messages? Do they understand your brand message? Do they understand the value in following you? Again, it's that cocktail party analogy. Are you just going up and saying, oh, we're really great? For us, it's really about building a healthy family and home. For you know a B2B, it might be like your CEO is going to think you're the smartest guy in the room. So whatever that is, they should understand that what that is. They should see it. It should be really, really clear to them when they look at your channels and when they come to your site. Like, what does this company give me? You know, what's the value there? So even if they haven't converted, they don't buy your products, they aren't a direct lead for you yet, like, give them something. You know, you've heard value a lot today, but that's really, I can't, like, the consistency and the value, like, you cannot understate that. So kind of quicker ways to grow your followers. We do a lot, actually, we do brand advocates, so we'll talk about more about that later. Category experts, which I've heard a little bit about, so if you have those influencers who you know are experts and you can partner with them, activate on any campaign. You know, you can always have a channel where there's someone who wants to be seen as an expert in that space, so giving them that content actually really helps you. It helps them. Other brands, we work a lot with other sustainable brands. We work with Annie's, Zarbee's, which is like a holistic medicine. Influencers, which you've heard, and then consumers, like give consumers the tools, which I think you've heard about a lot. We do a lot of contests and giveaways. It's really, really, this is very CPG. There might be something if you are B2B where you could, there's some value there if there is a contest, or you could say, we're gonna bring one person to a conference or whatever that is. But being able to have giveaways you'll see growth in all of your channels there. We do a lot of lookalikes from our email list. So if we know that we have a core group of people who follow us, you can create a Facebook lookalike audience and target them. The cost is usually much lower to acquire those people. And we just go after people we know. So we know we have a core. We only target, instead of doing a broad target, we're only going to target people who look like the people we know are our fans and our key audiences. And you can do teeny budgets. You can try like I don't know how many people it's really like budget is the issue. Is that kind of the bulk or is it people, do you think? Just in general. Budget, yeah. So you try $5 a day for 5 days, see what you get. Like you can try the really small budgets on this, like Facebook, Twitter's a little more expensive, but it's surprising how far a small budget can go. We actually saw with Bobble, we were sure, our brand managers came to us, they said, this product is about style. It's young women who care about style. We said, okay, we're just gonna try and test like fitness. We're gonna see if young women who like fitness try this. No, it's not a performance bottle. They're not gonna like it. So okay, let's just see if they like it. So we saw, I mean, we're getting like 9 cents per acquisition when we tried the sport people. We tried to target the fitness people and it was like 70 cents to get the style people. So see if there, you can play, you can see like what are the different ways that we can target. Is there something just slightly outside of our key demographic that might perform a little better? Is our key demographic really expensive? Moms are really expensive to acquire if you're just purchasing that. So are there ways, you know, you can just play constantly in Facebook when you're buying, when you're doing acquisition there? So make it easy for visitors to connect with you if they're coming to your site. I have an example of that coming up. Engage. Even if you carve out 15 minutes, a half hour, like just going through the channels you're focusing on, talking to people, liking people, it goes so far. Like, it's actually amazing the growth you'll see in engagement, the growth that you'll see in your fan base. Again, social media, you have to just be social. You have to actually care. People are used to brands engaging with them. It's not as creepy as it might sound. You know, find content that you find influencers, find content you like, comment on it as if you're a person. Like, that's fine. Just be conversational. You know, I really like this content. Have you seen our thing about this? Whatever. You don't have to say, you don't even have to get a lead back to your site. You can just start a conversation with them. A tiny amount of time goes so far. There was a time where we actually were in between community managers, and I was kind of doing everything. So I'd go home at night, 8 o'clock at night, and I'd be like, okay, I'm just going to do, like, just talk to people a little bit. Our growth and our engagement, when we looked at, like, that community manager who wasn't social that I mentioned, and then when I started just doing that a couple, you know, half hour at night, it just went crazy. Like, it was unbelievable, the difference of someone who was just responding. She was just, okay, I'm just here to respond to, like, what people are saying, versus, like, going out and actively engaging with your community. It was, I like, when I actually saw the metrics, I couldn't believe it, because I was like, okay, I know theoretically that this is going to work, but when I saw it, it was like, oh my God, like, that was such a small, tiny thing to do, and it really, really worked. So this is actually, when you come to our homepage, this is a social feed. It's clear, you know, the connect with us is really clear. We tell them exactly what they're going to get when they follow us. It's really important. Some people just have little icons on their homepage. I would definitely not recommend that. I would say, like, show people what they're going to get. Give that a little polish. If it's, you know, educational or thought leadership, they're going to dive deeper into that content. They're used to the social look and feel. They engage with it more. So definitely try to showcase that if you can. So we just try to give this beautiful presentation of, like, look, these are the ways that you're going to engage with us. And we do see a lot of clicks on this part of our site. So, okay. I'm going really fast. So this is a lot of stuff from the Facebook Spark session. And it's really just like, how do you create high impact social content? So these are just really basic ground rules. It's something everyone can do. Even if you're not a designer, I'll talk a little bit more about, like, ways that you can get good design. But these are your, like, absolute, like, how do I get people to engage and share with my content, or share my content? High impact really is someone stopping, they're reading it, they're clicking through, they're sharing, they're liking, they're engaging in some way with it. So you've got, I think we've heard this earlier, you've got, like, no time. People are just going through, they're on mobile. I think video, you have, like, the first 3 seconds to tell your story. So it's like, you've just got to get it out there. So is it thumb friendly? Does it make your thumb stop? Does it make you think? Does it make you feel something? Number one. Is there one clear focal point in the image? Think about your image. Think about it on a phone. Is it like a group of people you don't know what to look at? It's really hard to focus on. You want it to be very, very clear. The eye is always going to go to the image first. So your text should be secondary to the story that you're telling in the image. Super important. Using authentic imagery is really hard. So we do use a lot of stock. We're trying not to. There's ways that you can work on that. Right now, we're actually working on reaching out to some influencers that we've seen engage with the brand on social, giving them some products, asking them if they'll take photos. They're doing it just in exchange for products. It's hard not to rely on stock. It's something we struggle with a lot, and we rely on cheap stock, which isn't even, you know, it's not that great. If we could pay for offset every day, that'd be fantastic, but we can't. So, so the more you can use that authentic imagery, people will see stock photos over and over. I mean, how many, like, businesswoman at a meeting, like, you're going to see the same one every day. Like, we've seen other brands use ours. It's the more you can find authentic images, the better. Employees, we actually have one woman who's actually is a great photographer, has a cute baby. We're like, can you please go take pictures of the diapers? And she's happy to do it. So, you know, you do occasionally have to incentivize, you know, product, small fees. You're not going after professional photographers, but you are trying to get some more authentic images there. It's really important. This one I thought was really interesting, and again, this is directly from Facebook's and Instagram's creative director. The negative visual means your likes drop off, and for us, we come from a past of, like, scare tactics. The other products are toxic. You don't want this in your home. The world's ending. Like, it can get really dramatic. So what we found was when I started, it was very, very, very negative. And the more we just saw positive, we turned positive ways to solve your problems instead of identifying the problem. And I think, you know, say you're a security company and you're saying, you know, the bad guy's going to get, I keep seeing an ad where it's like, this guy wants to hack you. I'm like, come on, the guy does not really actually want to hack me. But it's a negative. So your likes actually will just drop. Like, they don't see, they're not, like, getting your message. They're seeing a negative visual. They're going past it. It makes them feel like, what does this make me feel instantly? It makes me feel bad. I'm going to go past it. So try to think of ways to, like, and it sounds like very Pollyanna, but, like, if you can turn a positive solution spin on your creative, you'll actually see a lot more engagement. So people remember stories, not facts. That's a really big one. If you can tell a story about your product or about, you know, what you're offering, people will, it will stick with people longer. And that you can always use, I mean, I think if you have like one, say you have a blog post, you can do 10 tweets to get into that blog post throughout the year. You can continually market that over and over. Never think of content, unless it's an event or a moment in time. Usually content can be reused. So don't think, oh God, I've got to have a new post every single day. Like, think about the ways that you can atomize, have different ways. And this is very much the PR speaking that Amy mentioned, but or the PR thinking. The more ways that you can get into your content and the more different headlines, you can just keep posting with new headlines and different people will come into your content into different ways. So a way that you can have maybe, you know, 20 evergreen stories and that can really last you a long time if you're strapped for resources. So make it memorable. This kind of goes up to the negative side. Like, does it make you smile? Did you learn something new? Is it disruptive or provocative? So check those as like litmus tests as you work on your creative. Okay, so the other thing here is also like, when you're thinking about this, you're really thinking about distribution, you're thinking about sharing power. So you can actually test, and I think the idea is test it organically, see what's getting traction, and then you can boost in like small increments. You can try different audiences. We actually do really well on organic on Facebook. We get a pretty decent reach for our size. And it's a great way to see, like, and Twitter actually, in the ads, they even say this post is performing the best, boost this post. But put it out there organically, see who is resonating with, and then boost in like little amounts. I think that makes, it's a way to like get your content out there, and it's almost like using it as user testing in a live way. If you work with retailers or partners, make sure to reach out with them. We work with a lot of stores, Target, Babies R Us. They're actually, I mean, they all have bigger following than we do. So we'll say, hey, we just put out this new content. Your natural consumers might really like it. Can you share it? And they often do. So check with the people you work with and just let them know that you've put out new content and see if they'll share it. Okay. How many of you have in-house designers or are designers? Okay, a couple of you. Okay, you guys are doing better than us. So what we do is we actually, we look at that simple atomized content. We look at our content calendar throughout the year. We identify kind of series or groupings of content that we can deliver that we know perform well. And then we go to a designer freelance and ask them to create different templates for us. And these are simple, you can do these. There's actually a company called postcreator.com that just started, and it's like you just upload an image. It's got the Facebook grid tool. You can put your text, you can put little sizes of, you know, rectangles or whatever in there. So postcreator.com. But so what we do is we do look at having these social templates built out. We can play with those elements. It's a way that we can get things done without actually having to go to a designer every time. We just can't. We don't have the resources. So, and then the content series are another way. So the other way that we really deliver a high impact social content is speaking to those shared values. We know, like, moms, actually breastfeeding is a huge topic for us. We don't do anything about breastfeeding. It has nothing to do with us. But we know that moms who want natural solutions for their family are passionate about breastfeeding. So when we talk about that, or when we partner with people who have that content as their main business goal, our ads are, we got 1 cent views on video, like crazy. so everything performs better. It's just giving that halo and giving that lift to the brand. So think outside, like, maybe this isn't exactly what your vertical is, but like, are there ways that you can partner that like really, really speak to what your consumers' like everyday values? And then you get those people in, and then you deliver your product messages. Okay, these I thought were really interesting because they're two ways of telling ingredient stories for two different brands. They're pretty simple to do. One's just a flat lay. This is Photoshop, but you could do it as a flat lay if you wanted to. Really, your thumb, you know, it's very thumb stoppy, it's very high impact. People are really interested in it. It tells the story, it's very like fresh and natural. But this didn't take a lot of time to do. It didn't take a lot of resources. It wasn't like a huge campaign. It was just one moment where they created, you know, this look and feel, and it's consistent for them. It, you know, all of their posts kind of are in this vein. So, okay. All right, I've got to go faster. So user-generated content, we are very lucky in that we get a lot. But you can always encourage, you know, consumers in your email messaging, let them know. Hey, hashtag this, and we'll feature your content. Packaging, I just actually got a thing from Food52, and they gave me a little card, and it was like, here's all our hashtags. Let us know what you think. Show off your products, all of that. So everywhere you're thinking on your package, is your package Instagrammable? Is the experience something that consumers want to share? So just thinking constantly about how can you encourage user-generated content throughout the process. And it's not necessarily you being on Facebook being like, hey, can we see your photos? Think about the whole ecosystem and every time that your consumer interacts with your product. And again, this is CPG, but there's a lot of different ways that you can think about it. Set aside the time, again, another 15 minutes. 15 minutes a day max, you can go through and try to find that great content and then amplify it on your pages. Ask permission. That's we have seen really great success just using reviews and testimonials. It's kind of basic, but we actually use them now. We use user reviews or user testimonials on our Facebook advertising. It's some of our top performing advertising. People want to hear from people. The other way, it's also a great almost like focus group, so you actually see what people are responding to with your products when you really dive into user-generated content. Okay. This is probably the most important part. So turn your fans into advocates. We launched a brand advocate community. We actually do have a custom platform. What we do is we were looking for moms who are interested in raising healthy families, and we will give them content. We give them products to test, ways that they can make change in their legislation, ways like tips for their friends. I have like a whole list here. Just any ways that they can just create a healthy home and family. So that's kind of the key of that. So we started in March. We now have 60,000 moms who are signed into our platform and who are amplifying our content and engaging with our brand every day. We saw our amplification go up 85%, or our engagement go up 85%, and our reviews of our products, even when we weren't asking them to write reviews, we now went from like 70% four-star reviews and above to 93% four-star reviews and above. We didn't ask them to review. We just engaged with them as a brand, and they naturally started reviewing Amazon, our site, Target.com. They're just doing it all the way. So brand advocates are fans who have previously shared your product on social, maybe, create high-quality content, but maybe they don't have high reach, and we'd be happy to build a long-term relationship with your brand. So these are just some like simple ways that you can engage with them. It's like very basic. Did they talk about reviewing your product? Reach out to them. Ask them to do more. Give them new products. Give them other ways. Give them previews. We actually do that a lot. We pre-seed, when products come out, we pre-seed with our influencer group, our brand advocates, and we say, hey, this is a brand new product. Let us know what you think. They're so thrilled to get early access. It makes them feel so special. Like, it's unbelievable. So the last one is actually, like, we had an issue where our dishwasher gel was not a good formula. In that case, we actually reached out and we said, hey, you know what, we changed the formula, can you try it again? And people were happy to, our reviews went back up. You can always turn those negative things around. If you have another solution for them, let them know. So just kind of that continual engagement. So what we found actually, so Generation Good is actually the community, if you want to go check it out, definitely something to look at. It actually gives them social currency. Again, it gives them an expertise. It gives them, if they have a blog, it's content that they can share on their blog. Moms want to be the first people to know about anything. And they're just always that in the know. You could do this with an email list. You could do this with people who have looked at a certain page on your site, build a custom audience on Facebook. Lots of different ways to do that. You don't need to have your own platform. But just notify them when you have new content. Make it easy to share that. Let them know you have something they might be interested in. You'd like them to share it. Give them surveys about your products. Ask them. Do consumer research through this group. We do it all the time. We ask them about new packaging. We ask them what they want to see in different products. We do new product testing, like I said, and we do review generation. So we activate these people every single day. It's one of those things that it's continually growing. We ask them to tell their friends about it. Their friends join. It's become this like juggernaut of a thing. So again, this is a very formal way of doing it with the platform, but it doesn't have to be. So these are my resources. And I think question time. And that was really fast. I'm sorry. It was a lot of information. Yeah.
Right. Thank you very much. We have about 13 minutes for questions.
Just wondering, has your leadership bought in? Do they understand the value that you bring? I mean, I know all of us probably struggle with that, but it looks like you guys have an incredible, you know,
They have, but they still want that direct media. They want the owned media and the advertising campaign to be the bulk of the budget. It's really hard to say, look, can I just carve out, I mean, not even 10% of that budget goes to just content marketing and like engagement marketing. So the Brand Advocate Network has really helped because the numbers are so clear and you can see when it launched, you can see like engagement go through the roof and like mentions of the brand go through the roof. Like I said, we don't have D2C, so we're still looking at sales impact kind of in store with that. But that's really helped them understand like the value of that like mom-to-mom or that person-to-person recommendation and how valuable that is versus the brand just talking. But we still, I mean, I get from the sales guys, why aren't you talking about the products more? It's like, well, it's in the post if you read it. It's just hidden. So it's been a struggle. But definitely the more that we can prove, the more they buy in. But again, like just keep testing things and report. Like that's something actually we found a little bit hard too, is like, I think I'm from a very tech background, and I'm kind of used to everyone getting it. Like I was at a software company for 6 years, like everyone there just got it. We've had to really think about like, what are the metrics we're delivering? What does the CEO really get? Like, what does he want to see? So we've really gone back and forth and like what we deliver as far as metrics and what really shows value to them.
So you just touched on something that I have a problem with all the time, which is the sales guys saying, show the products more, and can you show the products more and make the products really big?
Yeah.
So how do you turn that and make it something that your audience is going to engage with? Because product shots aren't the most exciting and engaging.
I'm going to go back really quickly. So like the spring cleaning quick tips for pet cleanup, that was one of our, it went crazy. We do not sell pet products. We sell products that are safe to use around pets. So it's a cute puppy. Just put cute puppy. No. So when they click through, what they could see then, it was actually tips that involved their product. So are there ways to embed your product as a solution for something that might not be as obvious, like this cleans your counter? Like you could make 6 posts that say this cleans your counter, but that's not super compelling. So for this, it was really about like how do we put that in something that is a real struggle, and it goes back every day to that, like, what is important in your consumer's daily life? Like, if you're answering that question and every post is responding to that, like, every one of these responds to what is important in your consumer's daily life. The products are there. Some of them are right there. Some of them you click through and you see the blog and you see those products. But it's really about the consumer.
Thanks, Tamara, for sharing. This is helpful for anybody. You know, your framework, and congratulations on everything you accomplished with such a small budget and limited people. I have a question about your getting permission to use content. I was just wondering how formalized that is. Are you using a tool for that, or are you just asking them directly? Or are you using, like, do you assume if they put a hashtag that you do have permission? Are you taking any of that content beyond just retweeting or reposting, you know, using it in other ways? Like, how far are you along that path?
So for paid influencer content, like, we actually do have a program from in our PR to do paid influencer content. We are working on getting those so that we can use them in advertising. So that's one way. For the just people who hashtag or refine their content, for a long time we were just asking. Now we are using a tool called Curlate. And they have something called say yes, and you just say respond with a hashtag, and there's kind of like a legal loop that they go into. So we're using that now. One thing is that we actually cleaning products are regulated by the FDA, so we actually can't, like, our employees can't actually all tweet. It would be really bad. Like, we would probably get sued for the things they would say. So we do have to be really careful legally about having some kind of trail to say, like, we can use this, and if someone, like, is a kid with a product, we have to be careful. So we have to actually have more of like a legal trail there. So we are trying out these other tools.
Great question. Anybody else have anything to ask?
Of course.
Yeah, we don't like Canada.
No, so how have you gotten around this, or do they just not ask?
So we spent a little money up front, and we have a legal counsel that we come in, but he's expensive. So we have a generic TNC. We had him just build one terms and conditions. That probably cost us $500. We then modify that. So once he did that, that's our external legal counsel. It's an attorney who were, you know, that's his job. So he built, it's probably five pages. And then our legal team internally said, okay, great, I feel good about that because an attorney wrote it. And then we just edit that every time. And we always link, you know, here's the terms and conditions. So does that help, or it's...
Yeah. <That attorney.
laughs> I know. And if you actually, that's true. If you run, so this is only if we run off our site, which we do, especially if we want to just do email acquisition. If you're running off other platforms, so if you're using OfferPop, you can. They actually are taking. I mean, the terms and conditions are built into this platform, so that's also one way around it. It's a great, yeah.
Excellent. Anybody else have any questions? We have about 5 more minutes before the closing keynote. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much. That was
excellent. Thank you, guys.